Grand Canyon University is back to being a nonprofit thanks to approval from its accreditor, the Higher Learning Commission. The nonprofit purchased the campus and other assets from for-profit Grand Canyon Education for $875 million. GCU has become a significant player in the online learning market, and this move back to nonprofit status could lead others in the sector to attempt the shift as well. To learn more, I'm joined by Paul Fain. He's a news editor at Inside Higher Ed. Now, Paul, a couple of years ago, GCU was not able to clear Higher Learning Commission hurdles. What changed this time?
A couple of things changed. As the university will tell you, the accreditor actually revised its criteria, developed some new criteria for these sort of conversions, which have become pretty common. There's been a few high-profile ones, including Purdue University in Indiana's acquisition of Kaplan, a big for-profit. They didn't have criteria in place to deal with this, and apparently felt like the initial bid by Grand Canyon gave too much control to the for-profit division, academic as well as service, back office stuff that they're going to do under the current deal. And apparently the new criteria, did a better job of fitting with the plan that Grand Canyon has. I will say another thing that changed was political. You have, accreditors are independent quality control bodies, but they pay attention to things in Washington. And this administration, the Trump administration, is generally favorable on these conversions.
There were also some things during the Obama years that there was a policy related to nonprofit university, making sure that no individuals were making money off the operation. Based on what GCU announced, it sounds like they've got sort of an offshoot there, which involves their president, Brian Mueller, being CEO of the for-profit as well. Did that seem strange to you at all?
It's hard to answer. These deals are so confusing. They're relatively new. They're evolving. And I think the accreditors and regulators have scrambled to keep up with them. Grand Canyon makes a case that there's a difference between its for-profit division and its new nonprofit one, and that they won't have conflicts there. I've certainly seen a couple critics noting that the CEO serves in both roles. That's something for the regulators to grapple with, and it sounds like in this case, at the state and accreditor level, they signed off on it. I will say that the federal government has yet to sign off on it. That's not as unusual as it sounds, though. They tend to do it after the deal, and again, I wouldn't bet against it.
Well, if the deal goes through, how impactful do you think it will be? I guess in the big picture of the for-profit scenery, how big a deal is Grand Canyon seen as being? Is this something that, even based on, as you said, with the administration changes, with how Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos may view things, do you see this becoming kind of a trend, at least short term?
Absolutely. A big trend, and Grand Canyon is a major development in that trend. I mean, this is arguably one of the, if not the most successful national for-profit institutions right now. It's long been a rare success story in a sector that's collapsing. I don't think most people realize this. The big for-profits in this country have hemorrhaged money in students for years, and many of them have gone out of business or been sold for often small amounts. It's really amazing how fast this sector of American higher education has collapsed. Grand Canyon was doing well, but for a variety of reasons felt like it would be better off as a nonprofit, including their last bid. They said to escape the stigma of being a for-profit, which is a major factor. These institutions have taken a big hit in the public eye, and it is obviously better to operate as a nonprofit right now. So this is kind of the cap on a big trend that I don't think most people realize has happened.
Is there a way to gauge how competitive Grand Canyon is in the bigger picture, whether it is attracting students online, attracting students around the country? Here in a sort of provincial sense, we wonder how it affects potentially Arizona State University and University of Arizona when it comes to that competition. Does this change how appealing Grand Canyon is in any way to potential students?
I don't think so. I don't think most students really spend too much time and energy on the tax status of a university. But yeah, I mean, I think it doesn't hurt. It allows them to do some things they didn't before, to raise private money, participate in governance at the Division I level in athletics, which is a draw for some students. It's going to help them on the athletics level. Obviously, they're doing it for a reason. And saying you're a nonprofit is something students appear to prefer right now. But, you know, it is interesting because Grand Canyon was doing well. I mean, 70,000 students online, 20,000 locally. And you're absolutely right. They are a competitor to Arizona State, particularly on the national online student market. I mean, I know they have 20,000 students right in the backyard there of Arizona State, but Arizona State, last time I checked, was doing pretty well in enrollment as well. So obviously there's a high demand for both. But, you know, to play in the big national market as an online institution, you know, there's just not that many that can do it, and Grand Canyon is one of the best.
Do you see anything else coming out of this particular deal, or are there questions you're still wondering about other than the big one, which is to see if this gets federal approval? But is there anything else that, as someone who follows education as closely as you do, that is interesting to you about this deal that you'll keep an eye on?
Well, first of all, it definitely signifies the continued collapse of the major for-profits. I mean, if you didn't notice this, now's the time to pay attention. I mean, the University of Phoenix and a couple others are left, but the big players online are nonprofit. And the big question, you know, that I have on this is, if our kind of regulatory pendulum swings back, we're in a deregulated moment in higher education, and, you know, some analysts who study the for-profit sector say it's not that they're poised for a comeback under DeVos and this environment. It's more that they're taking advantage of this environment to change their tax status before the pendulum swings back and maybe there's more scrutiny. And I think, you know, if that does happen, if Elizabeth Warren is in a more powerful position in the Senate, will the regulators turn more attention to the service agreements between for-profit online program management companies and their nonprofit clients, or in these really unusual partnerships like Purdue Kaplan and Grand Canyon?
Paul Fain is a news editor at Inside Higher Ed.